Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
The Masters might be in the books, but golf rolls on. We got the RBC Heritage this weekend, and much like the jacket, you know, the color of money is always green, whether you win it at the Masters, whether you win it at another golf tournament. So let's welcome into the show, for my money, the preeminent golf handicapper out there, certainly in the sports media, and that is our buddy James Mazzola. James's podcast is the For-Profit Podcast. F-O-R-E, exclamation point, profit podcast. He comes on You Better, You Bet all the time, always giving us pearls of wisdom as it comes to betting on the sport of golf. And this week will be no different. He is on Twitter at JMazJD. JMaz, what's going up, brother? What's going on, brother? Welcome back to You Better, You Bet. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley. Before we get to this weekend at the RBC, tell us how last weekend treated you, Augusta National, with the Masters.
You know, I whiffed on the outrights. The full tournament head-to-head did all right. I had a ROM top five, which was, a nice little backdoor on a Sunday, as ROM typically does, plays well on Sunday. People will think he was actually in contention when he had no chance in the top five. Seems like what he does. All in all, I think it was down a couple units. It'll happen. It was a good tournament. You know, I wish we had a little more drama on Sunday. Xander kind of took that away with a terrible shot on 16 and right in pawn. So, it was fun. It's always good to watch, and I love it. I love its return in April, and congrats to Decky, who's, you know, a long time coming for him to win a major, been one of the best ball strikers on tour for a very long time. So I'm happy for him to get a W, and it's on to Heritage.
And James, before we move on to this week's tournament, though, I think it's worth asking this question, because I did this yesterday, and even after the tournament, I was kind of, you know, reviewing all my stuff. I know you have like a ton of resources you use when you handicap golf, and you come on and give a lot of really good material and statistics, analytics and stuff to us. Just going back through your stuff, do you think there was a way you could have come up with Matsuyama? Let's say he was 50-1 at that price. Do you think there was like a path where if you're kind of like, oh, well, if I saw things this way, use this prism, whatever, that you could have come up with Matsuyama, or do you think it was gettable?
You know, for me, and in the way that I handicap, it was never going to happen. I mean, Matsuyama's been a guy who I was on for a long time, but I'm just rarely going to back a guy who hasn't won in 4 years. I really think there is something to just having that winning mentality and be able to close a big golf tournament like that. So, you know, I mean, and again, he has shown a little bit of improvement with his putter. So if you're ever going to, you know, maybe get in on him, it would be now. But ultimately, you know, I'll just be honest with you. No, I mean, that's just not the way I handicap it. I'm willing to take the loss, because if you're doing that, you know, you have a giant field of golfers, you know, and we have all the stats available to us. There has to be ways to dwindle down the field. And one of the ways I do so is I really think some guys have what it takes to get it done, especially at a major. And some guys don't. It'll burn me. But, you know, more often than not, it won't week to week. So no path for me, but I can make an argument based on how he's been putting, and obviously, you know, continuously one of the best ball strikers.
Well, you know, this is why Nick Costos is considered to be one of the great golf touts of our generation, right? Because all you had to do was really love Japanese culture, and that would have led you to a bet on the Decky Matsuyama, right? Like I had this weekend. This is why I am
more than anyone. I promise you that. I eat sushi 2-3 times a week, so I should have just went with that. I would have been the best handicap.
Apparently, you don't love it that much, or else you would have the bet on Matsuyama like I did. All right, so we'll turn our attention now to this weekend at the RBC in South Carolina here. So why don't you start with a Harbor Head, I think is the name of the course, right, with a course breakdown for us here. Harbor Town. And what we can expect course-wise here at the RBC Heritage.
Yeah, you know, this is a Pete Dye design, and when you talk about Pete Dye courses, they're typically, you know, meant for the shorter players. So, you know, your bombers have a little to no advantage on this golf course. As you get closer to the greens will narrow down. We saw Bryson WD, which is probably because this just doesn't fit him very well at his current game, take the week off. We've seen a guy like DJ never really be successful here. He has a sponsorship obligation to play. He plays it every year. He's never really done well. He has no top fives, which for DJ, that's incredible. And then, you know, when we see a guy like Webb Simpson, Matt Kuchar, Luke Donald, when he won, you have just a bunch of bunters out there who at the time were hitting irons well, and more importantly, you know, making putts on Bermuda greens. You might hear that it's actually like overseeded Bermuda, because this time of year the Bermuda is dormant, so don't take that into account too much. But ultimately, the greens are the smallest on tour other than Pebble Beach, so you know, you're going to have to add a little bit of that around the green metric, mostly because even the best guys are probably only going to hit 60-65% of these suckers. So you know, when we look at it, we're looking at, you know, iron players and mixing a little short game more so than normal, and you know, we'll find a winner hopefully.
Well, yeah, let's try to do that. And let's start with, you know, outright bets, obviously. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, Bryson withdraws, Dustin plays, and this is that. I was expecting even an even worse field than we have for this tournament. Now, maybe some of it's the sponsor type obligations that you were talking about, but week after a major can be a really mixed bag sometimes in terms of like who stays around and who goes on vacation and everything. I think we actually have like a reasonable field, which is something we don't normally have the week after a major. Why don't you kind of go through some of your favorite outright bets for us?
Yeah, man, this field is, I mean, it's better than what we saw in Texas the week before the Masters. And normally guys like to have a little tune up before a major. You know, surprisingly, I looked at it on Monday. I'm like, what the heck? We actually have some pretty good players here. This is going to be a fun one to handicap. So my first click at the top of the board, I love Tyrrell Hatton here. I feel like he's getting a little overlooked based upon a miscut of the players. But, you know, since he's been stateside, which was the end of February, a 22nd, a 21st, and then an 18th at the Masters. For the course history guys here, he was in it, down the stretch at the Heritage last year in a third place finish. Him, Anser, and Webb Simpson pretty much put on a show, a lot of birdies. Don't expect it to be that easy this year, but that's fine because Hatton is one of those guys who has an all-around game. He will gain off the tee, but, you know, he's also one of the better ball strikers, one of the better putters, and also obviously has that win at the Arnold Palmer. So Hatton at the top of the market was my first guy. I feel like if you're going to see Hatton at a much longer price than a guy like Matt Fitzpatrick, when Hatton has been a better player than Matt Fitzpatrick his entire career, we're just going to have to start it there. So I like Tyrrell Hatton this week. And then a little bit down the board, and actually my first click, this is the most egregious price that I see being offered right now. Charlie Hoffman. I don't know if you guys saw the update. Where the hell is Charlie Hoffman? Well, he's on my betting card this week.
Yeah,
I found him because he was the first guy I clicked. So, you know, if we look at his, we talk about it being a second shot golf course, getting 6 strokes on approach at in Texas, 7.3 at the Players, 5.5 at the API, 4.8 at the Genesis. I mean, that's some super elite stuff to be priced down in like the 40 to 50 to 1 range. 2 career wins on tour. And again, an all around game. In Texas, when he was, you know, kind of going blow for blow with speed there for a while, 3.4 around the green, 3.4 putting. He can do that week in and week out. A course that he's had a little bit of success on, and just based on his form right now, and you know, even the pedigree to a certain extent, you know, we had talked about that, a lot of guys who have been in the winner's circle. I think Hoffman, for me, should be a lot closer to 30 than the 50.
You bet BetQL Audio Network, Nick Costos, Ken Barkley on a Tuesday talking the RBC Heritage with our buddy James Mazzola at JMez JD. And yeah, a shout out to Chris Vernon, I believe, of the Ringer,
who does
those Masters. I mean, I discovered it this weekend for the first time, and like I laugh my ass off, man. Like it is actually legitimately hilarious. Check those out on Chris's Twitter. Yep. It's one of those things that's so brilliant when I watch it that I'm actually mad that I didn't come up with it, because it is absolutely fantastic. All right. Yeah. And I want to ask you about Dustin Johnson. I know you mentioned him briefly before, saying that he struggles, right? You know, obviously we saw him not make the cut, and then he had to stick around. And then in a really funny video that you tweeted on Sunday, puts the green jacket on Matsuyama, is literally like, see you guys later. And he's out the door. So absolutely outstanding. So listen, Ken and I and some other people obviously faded DJ last week, made some money doing that. Should we kind of be looking to do the same thing this week here? Give us a little more on your thoughts on Dustin Johnson for this weekend.
You know, his best finish here is like a 16th, which, you know, for DJ and a guy that who sponsorship makes him basically play this thing every single year, kind of surprising. And even crazier, Dustin Johnson is a dog to Webb Simpson in a head-to-head matchup, and you just don't see that every week, him being a dog to anyone, let alone Webb Simpson, who, I mean, it's hard for me to make that price, just based on my pure numbers. But, you know, even though it's a second-shot golf course, when DJ is on, we think about his driving prowess, he is one of the best iron players on tour. So for him to be able to just, you know, bunt it off the tee down the middle and then put together, you know, the iron play that is going to be necessary to be successful here, I can see it happening. The problem is his form is absolutely atrocious. I mean, a miscut at the Masters, a 48th at the Players, a 54th at WGC Mexico. Like, that's just not DJ game, really. And you know, we saw a little bit from him at the Genesis and the Tournament of Champions, but then it just went off the rail, at that concession tournament there in Florida. Hard to say what's going on. It is Dustin Johnson. He's kind of an enigma to a certain extent. We don't really get much from him. I just see his form right now, and it's not a guy I can get behind. I'm not necessarily looking to fade him because he's also the kind of guy who can just turn it on and flip the switch immediately and just win this thing by like 30 strokes, and that wouldn't surprise me one bit. But at the same time, you know, based on his current form, I can't get there in terms of back.
James, we only have about like 3 minutes left and want to make sure we get as much information out of you as possible. So let's go to head-to-heads. Obviously, I know it's like bread and butter, basically, of golf betting. Give us some of your favorite head-to-head bets this week.
Yeah, you know, similar to last week where, you know, Morikawa was an underdog to Hovland. He's an underdog to Cantlay, and he's an underdog to Webb Simpson. And based on where his game is right now, he's just a better golfer than both of those guys are within the last year. You know, we talk about a second-shot golf course in a place where bunters are, you know, bunters haven, so to speak. Well, I mean, Morikawa's not long. I mean, he's one of the shorter guys on tour when it comes to the elite golfers, and he's by far the best iron player in this event. So when we talk about necessary, you know, it's necessary to fit it into small greens and tight locations, I mean, there's no better player in this tour for that, in this field for that. I don't understand how he's a dog to these guys, and I also don't understand how he's not up at the top of the market, you know, with DJ and Webb, considering what we've seen from him. He played really poor golf at the Masters and still finished in the tie for 18th. Did absolutely nothing special. I watched a lot of his tournament. So I'm taking him in more or less every head-to-head. I'm going to have him in my round-by-round stuff. I mean, that's really the guy that I'm looking at. You know, I don't have an outright on him. I decided just to go with the derivatives instead, but I could totally justify, you know, throwing something on him at 20, 22 to 1 as well.
JMS, let's close with this. As always, I ask this question. Is there a golfer, is there a bet that we have not yet discussed that you think could be actionable for our listeners and viewers? Maybe it's a long shot. Maybe it's some kind of derivative. Please share it with us.
Get some action on Willie Z, Will Zalatoris. We obviously kind of went to the forefront of everyone's mind from more or less an unknown. Obviously, I know about him because I've lost a ton of money on him betting against him when he first came on tour. Not doing that anymore. We're on the train. I found a 40-1 outright, which to me is just wild. I don't get a Masters hangover. I don't think, you know, when you're 24 and you're playing as free as he was, I don't see that happening here. And, you know, even in the derivatives, I don't believe he's being priced correctly there as well. So get something on Willie Z. The guy is going to be a multi-winner on tour, as we saw. You know, if you have that kind of game to stick around there, you know, towards the end of the Masters, you can definitely win a tournament like the RBC. So Willie Z is my guy who I'm going to keep riding him this week.
All right. So I think usually I've got five bets here based on that I just made during the segment with JMS on. So that's pretty good stuff.
An average
JMS,
number.
Yeah. JMS, we appreciate you, brother. Check out his podcast, the For Profit Podcast, FORE exclamation point, and hit him up on Twitter at JMSJD. He is awesome and very generous with his time. JMS, we appreciate you. I'm wishing you the best of luck this weekend at the RBC, and we will catch up with you soon here on You Better You Bet.
Thanks, boys. Talk to you soon.
All right, and we are 2 hours in, halfway done with a Tuesday edition of You Better You Bet. Still 2 more hours to go. A lot of NFL draft coming up in the final hour. Ross Tucker is going to join us. But next hour, it's the Power Hour on You Better You Bet. All our picks for tonight in the NBA, all our picks for Major League Baseball, and our pal Reed Wallach is going to join us at the top of the hour to give us BetQL's five-star plays for tonight. And the YouTubers got to give us a first-inning bet as well. Power Hour coming up next here at BetQL Audio Network.